RadioNoNo.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck it!
War Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Tom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane has got two words for you. Drop it.
To me, they understand, they talk to me. You got tools in your religion, all designed to keep you safe. But when rules start getting broken, start questioning your faith. I have a voice.
What?
What's my line?
Welcome to
Raw Post Radio right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Welcome everybody to the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Presented by PWMania.com and MemNamePromo.com. I am Mr. Rockin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Hello!
Oh, we got our 3-hour Monday Night Raw to get into tonight, and it was something interesting to say the least tonight on Raw.
Yes, it was. There were a few surprises and some good spots and some not-so-good spots.
And we'll get into it all. We started off the show with the teases for what's coming up on tonight's show, including hearing from Ryback and CM Punk is going to talk tonight on Raw. But up first, it's a handicap match, a rematch from Friday Night SmackDown. It's Randy Orton and Sheamus taking on the Big Show. The only thing I can really say about this one, I feel sorry for Sheamus' chest.
Oh my god!
Like, the Big Show has a really big hand, and when it comes across that chest, you can just see Sheamus' chest turn bright red. Oh my goodness!
He whacked him pretty good.
Not just once, multiple times.
Yeah, poor. At least Sheamus has color now.
So that's what it takes. That's what it takes to get Sheamus some color.
Yep, Big Show's hand. Go figure. I'm going to let you make your own joke there.
I'll leave that one alone. The finish, which saw Randy Orton, Big Show take the bro kick from Sheamus, and then an RKO. Out of nowhere for Randy Orton for the victory. Orton and Sheamus start off the show hot, I suppose, with JBL basically saying, this was unfair, it was a handicap match, it took two world champions to beat the Big Show. Which is true.
Yeah, just show that it takes more than one guy to beat the Big Show. Not too shabby.
And the one other chair, the electric chair spot.
Yeah.
Sheamus is like, don't break my back.
It's like, oh god, oh crap.
Well, yes, Orton and Sheamus win. Nice start to the show.
Mm-hmm.
We are backstage with the 3-man band. And basically, the Shield called out. Basically said they're going to call out the Shield next on Raw.
To which Lindsay goes squee.
Lindsay goes away because it's going to be, it's 8:15 and Dean's already on her TV. So she thought.
They lied.
They teased her for the first time in the show. In the ring, we have three-man band. Heath Slater basically took the microphone, saying that that the greatest rock band in WWE history was going to make an example out of Triple H, but no. That other three-man cover band, The Shield, tried to steal their spotlight. Jinder Mahal claimed to be the only three-man band that rocks faces, and then Drew McIntyre tried to play tough guy, suggesting The Shield should come out here right now and hand them a handwritten apology.
Yeah.
Drew?
Although Drew, whatever Drew said before that was really sexy. I forget what it was, but it was really hot.
So it goes from being really hot to
just, you sit there and you're like, huh?
What did those words actually come out of his mouth? A handwritten apology. This is pro wrestling. We don't do handwritten apologies. Just pointing that one out. So, the fans are chanting, "You suck," towards the three-man band. We're all waiting for The Shield. Where's The Shield? Where's The Shield? Oh, it's not The Shield, Lindsay. It's Brock Lesnar.
Hashtag injustice.
Hashtag injustice indeed. Brock Lesnar storms to the ring, and the three-man band just stand there, and, well, it's time for Brock smash time. He suplexes Mahal, F5s McIntyre, Heath Slater bails. He tries to run around the ring, gets clotheslined, and then gets F5'd into the barricade.
Yeah, Slater is now dead thanks to Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar wanted to do more, he so wanted to do more, but Paul Heyman says, no, wait, you gotta wait, no more, we're done.
The crowd wanted him to do more.
They were chanting one more time, and oh, Slater almost got killed, but no, thanks to Paul Heyman, he was saved for this night.
Yeah, Lesnar thought about it. He thought about it really hard, and you could tell.
Oh, he so certainly did. But then, Paul Heyman was in the ring with Brock Lesnar and decided to pick up a microphone and tell us a little something.
Giant is ready for a fight. And the fight that my client wants and has demonstrated a message to everyone tonight is against Triple H. Your hollow victory at WrestleMania, at best, it just evens up the score. Because now you're 1-1 with Brock Lesnar. And there can only be one dominant alpha male in the WWE universe. So how do we settle this problem? Well, there's a major event calling up, and that major event is called Extreme Rules. So my client Brock Lesnar and I are proposing a match in which a man that is knocked out unconscious will be shown no mercy. An unconscious man will be victimized. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get barbaric. It's time for a match in which skin gets ripped away from bones, where a career can end in a nanosecond. It's time to get primal. It's time to get uncensored. It's time to get ruthless. It's time to get raw. It's time to get extreme. So my client proposes Triple H versus Brock Lesnar in a down and dirty old school steel cage match.
I love it.
And since I know Triple H will be down with that, we got two words for you. Challenge issued.
Well, there you go. Challenge issued.
I love the way Paul Heyman crafts a promo. I really do.
I can listen to Paul Heyman say the word extreme all day long.
And Brock Lesnar. I don't know why. It is the way he says Brock's name that is just like, that's, he says it the way it should be said. He really does.
I'm looking forward to the cage.
I know a lot of people wanted it to be Hell in a Cell, and the way he was making it sound, it's like, okay, call for Hell in a Cell, we're waiting for it, we're waiting for it. Nope, it's not going to be Hell in a Cell, it's going to be something else. But still, hopefully now they can get, you know, as Heyman said, down and dirty and raw and vicious and everything in the cage match, because they weren't able to at Mania due to Triple H's knee and the table. That damn Spanish announce table.
That damn table kills everybody, but yeah. Many thought he was done, but no, Brock Lesnar is agreeing to one more fight. And it's going to be in about, what, 5 weeks at Extreme Rules?
Yeah, which means they can do a really nice build for it.
Mm-hmm, and we will probably get Triple H's response next week in London.
Ooh!
Because I can't see, Brock going to London. Anyway.
Probably not.
No. And apparently, you said that everyone wanted Hell in a Cell, the other half wanted the blue cage.
Well, yeah, Heyman said old school, so everybody automatically thought blue cage.
So we'll see if we get the blue cage, a black cage, a green cage, a white cage, or a steel cage at Extreme Rules. We're again hyped for Ryback's explanation about what he did to John Cena. But up next, it is the U.S. Championship match, Antonio Cesaro against Kofi Kingston. And this match, pretty good.
Except for the fact that Cesaro made dogs cry. Yeah, it was great.
Oh my god, Cesaro. Love you, man, but that yodeling.
But in other words, that uppercut, holy shit, that thing is vicious.
Yeah, when you you go from one side of one spectrum to the other, the yodeling to the uppercut, he nails that pretty good on somebody, especially someone like Kofi Kingston, who can jump up in the air and really take it.
Absolutely. Sorry I have hiccups. I'm trying to get rid of hiccups.
Drink some water straight through. It works.
No, that doesn't work for me.
Hey, side note, I told that to Rob once.
Yeah.
He never heard of it. Worked right away, and he was dealing with hiccups for about 3 hours.
Wow.
Anyway. But at the end of it, in a surprise, Kofi Kingston is now your United States champion, ending the 200-plus day title reign of one Antonio Cesaro.
Which I didn't realize he had had it that long.
Time flies when you're not really pushed.
It does.
You just kind of flow in the background a little bit. You're not really noticed. But he's had it since SummerSlam, so it's past WrestleMania, so he held it a long time. So it didn't, you know, go back and forth. He held it for a while, but now he drops the title to Kofi and probably get a rematch sometime in the next 2 weeks, I would imagine, between those two.
I don't know. They could probably save it for Extreme Rules.
They could. I doubt it, though. But that's just me. At this point, we got an interesting recap from last week. We got the entire moment of Dolph Ziggler cashing in his Money in the Bank contract. They made it a big deal.
They did, and that's nice to see that they made it a big deal for Ziggler. That it's, oh hey, look at that, it actually matters.
Yeah, how about that? Something actually matters in wrestling. Shocking.
They put importance behind it.
Ooh. Fancy. Speaking of the World Heavyweight Champion, the World Heavyweight Champion, along with Big E and AJ, came down to the ring. Ziggler said last week he successfully cashed in his Money in the Bank contract to become the new World Heavyweight Champion. Ziggler said it was the single greatest moment in Raw history. It was one of the better moments, I wouldn't say the single greatest, but I digress. Ziggler said it was all because of him. He wondered aloud how he would top himself. Ziggler said he's never been a world champion as there's never been a world champion as charismatic and flamboyant as him, Shawn Michaels, but he's just too good. He told the crowd to listen up, that he doesn't care if they boo him or not. Ziggler told the crowd that showing off is what you do when you're better than everyone else, and he backs it up every single night. Ziggler said the perks of being who he is comes with the job. He said everyone wants his autograph, and he gets his. Ziggler then gave AJ a kiss, which is about as close as they'll get to Edge and Lita, says the person in the recap. Ziggler said no one will ever be as good as he is. And then he was interrupted by Alberto Del Rio, who limped to the stage with Ricardo Rodriguez. Del Rio said he congratulated Ziggler last week, but he will invoke his rematch clause right here, right now, in Greenville. So the crowd was ready. We're getting a World Heavyweight title match right here. And then we get Vicky Guerrero. Vicky Guerrero interrupted and said Del Rio will get his rematch, and it will happen right now. Out comes the referee, ready to go, and then Jack Swagger comes out. Coulter said there will not be a Money in the Bank cash-in without Swagger. So Dolph doesn't deserve to be world champion, and Del Rio sure doesn't deserve another shot. So Swagger hits the ring, jumps Del Rio, and basically takes him out as Ziggler watches on in the ring.
Hey, you know what? Take your opportunities where you can get them.
Seems like they're building something here between these three.
Are they?
It seems like it. It just might just be me, but it seems like they're building something. But at this point, we're backstage. Del Rio is in pain on the trainer's table. The announcers concluded that Del Rio will be in no condition to challenge for the world title tonight. Thank you for telling us the obvious. But in the ring, we go from...
It's part of the story.
I know. Non-title match, WWE Tag Team Champions Team Hell No. The rapping duo known as Kane and Daniel Bryan take on the primetime players.
This is where they tease Lindsay for the second time in the night.
Basically, she thought the Shield was going to come out tonight and attack Bryan and Kane, but no. No. There was no Shield attacking this one.
No.
Just JBL saying, better call Peter because there's a flying goat as Daniel Bryan hit the headbutt for the victory for Team Hell No. Before this matchup, it was announced that next week, live on Monday Night Raw, over in London, England, the Shield will be in action against Daniel Bryan, Kane, and The Undertaker.
Again, this is where Lindsay screamed so loud that the neighbors thought she went insane. Again.
So, we speculated this all week. Will they do it? Won't they do it? Will they do it? Won't they do it? Will they do it? Won't they do it? And apparently, they're going to do it. It's going to happen in London.
I'm really surprised that they're giving this away for free on TV. Really surprised.
Well, you got to think about it. They're doing something special for London. So people are paying to see it over in London. Two, when was the last time Undertaker actually wrestled on TV? 2010?
Probably.
So it's been almost 3 years. Jesus, it's almost 3 years since he's wrestled on Raw.
Yeah, but a lot more people would pay him on another pay-per-view, especially since Extreme Rules is lacking somewhat star power. So I would pay to see that match.
But you don't have to pay to see it. Now more people will see it on Raw next week.
So excited. Can't wait. And it makes sense. I mean, they're flying him over for the SmackDown show, so it makes sense to put him on Raw.
And the biggest thing that's coming out of this, The Undertaker is wrestling not once, but twice in 1 week.
He is.
Because he's doing a dark match on SmackDown tapings. So he's wrestling twice in 1 week. Somebody's healthy.
Yeah, somebody's feeling good.
Or someone just went out of the house.
It could be that as well.
Either way, we get The Undertaker in action for the first time in probably 3 years on Monday Night Raw next week.
So, woohoo!
So there was no tease. There was a tease, but no delivery of the Shield at that point. But then we get some Ryback speak. Lindsay was not the biggest fan of it because it took too long.
Are you going to play it?
No, I'm not going to play it.
Okay.
Basically, Ryback broke down everything that happened to him in the last few months. And how it involved John Cena. He was always had John Cena's back. And Ryback was the one left taking the beating from the Shield for the last few months. Ryback talked about how Cena was on his way to WrestleMania, and he said, good for you. Ryback said when Cena was in the ring making his little jokes, Cena acted like no one else existed. Ryback said he waited for Cena to admit that he was in the spot only because Ryback wasn't. But Cena didn't. So Cena has to admit that Ryback is the biggest threat to John Cena's title. Yeah, he's the biggest threat.
I'm sorry, I'm sitting here trying not to laugh. Sorry, go on.
No, go ahead. They basically, broke it all down and all that fun stuff. It's on YouTube if you want to hear the full recap.
Dude, John Cena isn't where he is because of you. John Cena is where he is because of John Cena. In fact, you're the only reason where you are right now is because John Cena got hurt, and you got to take his title shot at Hell in a Cell and TLC. So you actually owe Cena, not the other way around. Just, yeah.
Didn't it sound like that Ryback was the jolted ex-boyfriend of John Cena?
He did. Oh god, he's got another one. First AJ, and now Ryberg. Oh no.
Oh no. Oh no. I thought this was effective. It went on too long, because they could have really trimmed it down. But the good part is they didn't put it in front of a live crowd, where he could have been caught off guard by the crowd, and that would have went over horribly. So pre-taping it, perfect.
Yeah, the pre-tape worked really well, because just from a visual standpoint, they lit it really nicely, where he looked very threatening and very dangerous. So that worked out quite well. At least in my opinion.
And it had an old school feel to it a little bit.
It did, yeah.
So the turn of Ryback continues. But in the ring, R-Truth is waiting for his opponent, and it will be the Intercontinental Champion, Wade Barrett.
Yay, Wade!
Wade lost to R-Truth. It looked like Wade Barrett hit his head really hard on the mat. And then R-Truth had a really weird look on his face.
He did, yeah.
Kind of was interesting. Interesting ending. I guess this puts R-Truth in contention for the Intercontinental Championship?
I guess so.
Or will he have to win the 10-man number one contenders battle royal this Wednesday on WWE Main Event?
Maybe both.
Backstage, we have Vicky Guerrero and Brad Maddox pretending to have sort of a conversation about Del Rio's health, and Taylor Long barged in. Long offered a solution to Swagger vs. Ziggler. Long said he already set it up, then told Brookie to calm down. Vicky asked Long if Booker T knows about this whole matchup that's been set up, to which Long says he doesn't know. Aren't you his assistant? Shouldn't you inform him? Long and Vicky told Brad to tell somebody. They bickered a little bit. Vicky was pleased with what happened somewhat. There's stuff brewing between Teddy Long and Booker T, it seems like.
They're not going to break up, are they?
I think they might be breaking up.
Aww.
But Bricky's still together.
Such a shame.
but Brookie's still together.
Brookie can break up, and I would be okay with that.
Up next, the Great Khali teams with Santino Marella against Team Rhodes Scholars. I guess what we learned from this one, Hornswoggle's Cobra does not work.
No, sorry, I was on mute. His Cobra doesn't work. It's not as powerful as Santino's.
So Team Road Scholars pick up the victory over Santino and the Great Khali. We have Jerry the King Lawler in the ring and recap everything that's been happening over the last week with Fandango and all the Fandangoing on social media, and they showed a highlight package of many people Fandangoing on the trains, the Houston Texans cheerleaders Fandangoing, the PETA people Fandangoing. Everyone was Fandangoing, Lindsay.
They were. And by the way, WWE, y'all are welcome.
So, Jerry Lawler then brought out Fandango, making sure he got his name right. Fandango danced to the ring. And then we had a creepy moment where Fandango talked to Jerry Lawler about how his hips moved. If it was 10 years ago, well, Jerry Lawler probably had really active hips. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I don't want to know about Jerry Lawler's hips. Just
well, I
putting
can
that out there.
I can refer you to something, but I'll be good.
No, no, you don't. You really don't.
Well, you know, I'm just returning the favor.
What are you? What you mean? You're telling me that you don't like how we have conversations about people's sticky pickles?
I did not say that. I'm just, you know. Anyway, moving on. As I was drinking water, as you said, sticky pickle.
You're welcome.
Fandango said before that everyone can go start fandangling, he needs people to do one thing, and that's pronounce his name correctly. He taught him how to say the fawn and then the dong. You have to breathe in all the A's, remember that. And then the go. And he basically ended the promo by saying, you can all go fandango yourselves. So that's going to be the new trend for the next week, fandango yourselves. I question whether that's PG or not, but, you know, we'll have to see.
Eh.
Some people were fandangoing in the crowd, not as many as last week, but there were some.
It's still going around, which is good. I think it's taking off more in Europe than it is here.
And they're in London next week, so we're going to get
a lot of it. We expect big things from London.
Yeah, London, you better not let us down next week with this fandangoing. Just pointing that out. Backstage, Matt Striker with the new WWE Champion. Cena said apparently Ryback has a problem with him, so he's going to hit the ring later and make it real easy for Ryback to tell him to his face, man to man. But up next, World Heavyweight Champion Dolph Ziggler takes on Jack Swagger in a non-title match. Good match.
It was a good match.
Good match. Surprising outcome with Jack Swagger picking up the victory with a quick roll-up on Dolph Ziggler. The champions tonight were not looking so hot. You had Wade Barrett lose. You had Antonio Cesaro lose his title. Now you've had Swagger beat the world champion. It was not the champion's night.
No, it wasn't, sadly.
Swagger celebrated his victory, and then Del Rio attacked him on... Del Rio attacked him on the apron, locking... On the ramp. And then locked in the cross arm breaker as... Swagger hung over the side of the ring, the side of the stage. Nice angle, you know, really nice stuff.
It was really nicely done. I mean, they've got to kind of rebuild Swagger a little bit, so this was a nice way to do it. Nice where it's still, it's like, yeah, he lost to Del Rio, but he's still looking strong.
Yes. We have Matt Stryker backstage with Sheamus. Mark Henry suddenly appeared and, well, drove Sheamus through the set and screaming, "That's what I do."
Mark Henry did to Sheamus what every fangirl of his wants to do to Sheamus, which is pick him up and carry him off and then lay him on his back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you have CM Punk coming to the ring with Paul Heyman, and CM Punk looked hurt coming to the ring. I don't know if it was all real, but you could tell he was hurting.
Yeah, and you knew it was serious because Punk was wearing pants.
When Punk wears pants, it's really serious. CM Punk came to the ring. Punk said that for 434 days as WWE Champion, he couldn't enjoy the ride because he was always looking around the corner for what's next. Punk said the WWE title meant everything to him, and he wanted the next challenge, which was The Rock. Punk said it. Said as he battled someone who will arguably go down as one of the greatest stars of all time, he was still looking for what's next. Punk said, after being champ for 434 days, the only logical place to go was taking on the streak at WrestleMania. He said he pushed Taker to his limits. And then we had a huge Undertaker chant, followed by a CM Punk chant, and they battled back and forth those chants.
Which was a really nice moment.
Yes. Then CM Punk looked at Heyman, they embraced a little bit, and he handed them the microphone. And CM Punk left the ring, waved the cameraman away, and just walked up the ramp, and then walked to the side of the ramp, and off he went. Basically, did CM Punk just lose his smile?
I don't know, maybe? It's hard to say. I mean, it was a really nicely done segment. It was very effective. But at the same time, you're like, okay, what's going on, you know?
I believe this is the end of the line for CM Punk for the time being.
And to that I say, yay, because good lord, the man needs a break.
He needs to heal up a little bit.
Yes, he does, in more ways than one.
So CM Punk will be disappearing for the time being off your television screens. We come back from break. Booker T is backstage with Teddy Long and talk to him about he's overstepping his bounds. Long tried to come up with an explanation which Booker wasn't having any of it. Long then named Swagger the number one contender to Ziggler, but Booker T said wasn't going to have any of that. And basically said Swagger will get his title shot and so will Del Rio. He said it will be when it will happen. Ziggler will defend against both men in a triple threat match.
Didn't see that coming.
No, did not see that one coming at all. But I'm good. I'm glad. I'm just wondering when. When is this triple threat match? Is it on SmackDown? Is it Extreme Rules? Tell us when, Booker T. Tell us. Tell us, sucker.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to watch SmackDown to find out. Hey, Booker, if you don't want people doing your job, then do your job. Just pointing that out.
This piece of advice brought to you by CassidyRiley.net for all your Cassidy Riley needs.
Aw, dude, no.
No? No? No shameless plug? No? I could have said the next match is brought to you by his website. It is.
What was the next match?
It's a non-title match between WWE Divas Champion Caitlyn and Nikki Bella.
Your Divas Champion gets a jobber entrance. That's so wrong.
Nikki Bella won this matchup, so the night continues to be bad for the champions on Monday Night Raw. The best part about this was Jerry the King Lawler.
It was, yes, where he was talking about their boobs.
They were asking, how can you tell one of you know, each other apart? Well, one's bigger than the other, and that just killed JBL. Because if you haven't noticed, one Bella has a bigger set of something than the other. And then when they did the twin magic, he said, the smaller one's in the ring. And it's like, you know, it's kind of making it obvious that one of them went and got something in the chest area. Is that the best way to put it?
Pretty much, yeah. I said the same thing. It's like, wait, they can't do the twin magic thing anymore. They don't match.
Well, apparently they can still do it somewhat. Because they did.
Well, we clearly know what the ref wasn't looking at in that match.
He was not staring at the boobs. Anyway, we get hyped for next week. And once again, it's six-man tag team action. The Shield taking on Daniel Bryan, Kane, and The Undertaker. Oh, okay. John Cena is in the ring. Storms to the ring, ready to talk, and he proclaims the champ is here. Cena said, and the Ryback is there, pointing to the backstage area. Cena told the Ryback to get out here, right here, right now. Ryback hit the stage in the ring. Cena and Ryback went face to face as the crowd sort of chanted, feed me more. Cena said the audience sees what he sees, 290 pounds destroying everyone, and they know someone will get hurt when they stand in the Ryback's path. So someone like him should be ready to wet his khakis, but he's not. Cena said he issued an open challenge to any WWE star who thought he was ready to get a piece of the title, but what did Ryback do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Cena said Ryback waited till his back turned to knock him down, and what did Ryback do tonight? Cena said Ryback made the audience sit through a highlight reel of excuses, and it was boring. Cena said Ryback thinks he is the biggest threat to the title. Do you know who you're dealing with, Jack? He asked. Cena said that he's been with wars with Randy Orton, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels, and they're his friends. He said as friends, they beat the hell out of each other. Other to get the coveted WWE title, Cena told the Ryback that he gets what he did last week, but he doesn't like how Ryback did it. Cena turned his back and paced around the ring some more. He turned around and said the message the Ryback has sent is he lacks two most important things it takes to be champion. The space between his ears and his legs. Alright, before I continue, there was a shot during this promo of some people in the, you know, they went to a shot where you could see some people ready to come out, but we weren't supposed to see that shot. Oops.
Yeah, that was an oops.
And then they try to cover it by having Jerry Lawler start muttering on commentary. Did we just see that? Did we just see what happened there? Am I seeing something? So they you know, cover that up somewhat. Cena continued that after last week, Ryback attacked him. Ryback held on to the title, and he said it felt good. Cena started to undress himself. Then Ryback to make a move and see if he has what it takes to earn a championship. Cena dropped the mic, and they went face to face, and then Ryback started to breathe heavily and then walked away. So Ryback stood at the entrance ramp to booze, and then we hear from the Shield.
God damn it, finally.
We were teased.
Took them all night.
They teased throughout the night, including the
including
the false shot of the Shield up, ready to make their entrance. The Shield surround the ring, and they go and attack John Cena. Everyone's waiting. Will the Ryback help? Will the Ryback help? And no, he just stood there and watched the Shield destroy John Cena, lay him out with a triple powerbomb. And then, you know, the Shield's waiting. Come on, Ryback. Come on, Ryback. And the Ryback just walks away. Then we had more fans chanting one more time for a triple powerbomb. But no, the Ryback left the arena with the Shield standing tall in the ring to close Monday Night Raw.
Which was a nice way to close the show, and I like how when they were chanting one more time, the Shield thought about it, too.
They thought about it, and they just smirked. Which was great.
And by the way, I know everybody's, I'm reading the chat room and I'm sitting here and I'm seeing a lot of people are hot about the fact that they didn't do anything for Boston. And we send our condolences out, obviously, to the people in Boston, and it's senseless and tragic, but WWE may not have had time to put something together, so just keep that in mind.
And we don't know, and we don't know if they did anything for the live crowd.
Right. So don't get too hot, and they may do something in the next day or two. I mean, keep in mind that happened relatively late in the afternoon, so don't get too angry. They could have done something before the live show, they could have done something after, something for the live crowd. They may have something up on the website tomorrow. It's absolutely senseless, absolutely tragic, and our hearts certainly go out to them, and they may do something in the next couple of days, and they may not. But just don't get too hot or too angry.
Yeah, this is not the situation to get angry for. They raised $500,000 for Sandy Relief.
Yeah, so they'll do something. I'm sure they will do something. They'll acknowledge it in some fashion.
Right, but by the time the TV show is put together, they had everything written out and they can't work it in.
Right, and they're not going to throw the footage up on live TV. Because if you've seen the footage is pretty graphic, so they're not going to throw that out there.
Right. So, yeah. I'm with Lindsay. The condolences to everyone out in Boston. So that was Monday Night Raw, in a nutshell.
Yes, it was, which we need to go ahead and wrap the show because Kane and Daniel Bryan are coming out on my TV.
Okay, we'll have to wrap the show. Good show tonight? Or average show? What do you think?
It was pretty average. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't good. It didn't obviously have the energy that last week's show did, just because the crowd was not as hot. So it's just, yeah, it was an okay show. You know, it was what it was.
Storylines progress. That's what you want.
Yeah, they're starting to build to Extreme Rules, and they're doing a nice slow build for them, and that's fine.
I agree.
And there's a taker. Bad hair and all.
Sierra Hotel. India. Echo. Lima. Delta.
So on that note, we're going to wrap up the Raw Post Show right here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Logic on the program. It will be former WWE referee Jimmy Corderas along with Sugar Dunkerton. Tune in at 9 p.m. Eastern for Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. Wednesday, most likely on podcast form, it will be Cheap Heat Radio with Scott Barry. And he will be talking with a couple people behind Crossfire Wrestling. The true story.
Ooh.
The true story about Crossfire Wrestling gets told this Wednesday night on Cheap Heat Radio. Thursday night, it's The Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern. Lindsay?
Yes, tune in for our recap of Impact. We're going to be talking all about what happened on there, news and notes throughout the week, our discussions, of course, and anything else we can come up with. So it's The Rack, Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com. And, of course, go to rackradioshow.com.
Friday night, Mace plays video games around 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern. He's not sure on time because of the time zone, so just check the Facebooks and the Twitters for all that information. Saturday night, midnight-ish, at CB Radio, with myself, Rob Parks, and Subway. We'll talk about the weird, the wacky, the unusual, and we'll get Subway and Rob to talk about the best shirtless performance of the year, according to the MTV Movie Awards. They don't know they're going to be talking about it, but they will. Tune in, CB Radio. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern with Tim Stein, Mace, and Omega. They'll cover a week in pro wrestling. We'll be back for another edition of the Raw Post Show next Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, where we will be Lindsay will be squeeing over The Undertaker's return to the ring.
I'll either be really, really happy, really, really upset, or somewhere in between.
Well, you're going to get Undertaker and Dean in the same ring with Kane and Daniel Bryan, Seth Rollins, and she's going to be happy.
I'm going to be happy but excessively conflicted, because I'm not going to know who to go with.
Let's go Dean. Let's go Taker. Let's go Kane.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, oh my god, I'm confused.
She is confused. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join the Facebook group at Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. CanadianAllPro.com. Buy tickets now for April Assault on April 27th if you're in the Calgary area. The heavyweight title tournament starts. Lindsay, plug.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. You can go to my website, SegwardDesigns.com. Check that out. Of course, go to CastyRiley.net for all your Casty Riley needs. Go to my DeviantArt, LinsWard.DeviantArt.com. Check that out.
So, like I said, we'll be back next Monday for another additional Raw Poster live right here across the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network.